All right, man. Welcome to Crow 777 Radio. This is a special episode. We're going to call it 233. We've had to shuffle some things. Jason Lindgren is with me, and we have a special guest, which I'm just not going to name right out the gate because we're trying to get this out as far and wide as we can without censorship. Needless to say, this will not run on YouTube. But as is always the case, I will put a bumper there. The first free hour will be posted at crow777radio.com. Everyone else knows the dance. Anyhow, welcome, Jason.
Good afternoon, Crow.
I'm thinking we ought to just jump in and maximize our time.
I think that's a great decision.
All right, I'd like to welcome our guest. I don't even know why I'm not saying the name in the audio. I'll just say it. Welcome, Lotus.
Thank you for inviting me. I'm glad to be here.
Everybody, this is probably going to be one of those episodes where you got to listen to it more than once. I will do my best to step in and clarify things that I think are flying over heads. We had a long conversation yesterday, and I already know what we're going to lay down is critically important. Basically, if I was going to nutshell what we're going to do, is how did we get into the mess that we've all been living in, our grandparents were living in, probably their grandparents were living in, and we're going to draw the line post-Civil War. You'll hear the word Reconstruction, so you don't have to jump on a browser. We're basically talking on the tail of that theater of war called the Civil War. But Lotus, let's just jump in where you think it's applicable and do this thing.
Okay. What I'm going to start with is probably the specifics and particularities of federal statutes, which will help the people that are searching for how they could legally be doing things. Like, there's legal and lawful. You know, all things that are legal are not lawful. And that's how Hitler's reign and theater of war is described. A lot of that he did was legal, made legal, actually, during their coup of their republic. But they were not lawful pursuant to their constitution. And those same people came to this country post-World War II and took advantage of some things that the cooing agents within our government that have been here and been imposed upon us as trustees, which we think are our government, but they are just corporations operating in trusteeship in international repository trust law. They set the stage for that same instrument of fascism to come into our government with something called the Habana Acts and a coup in 1940 of what is called the American Republics. However, the people who set that up have been the trustees of our trust, our allodial estates, which we call United States. Those are actually landed estates held in a perpetual union by international repository trust documents. We have been administrated by foreign agents of the crown and the pope who hold foreign patents of titles of nobility, priests, doctors, and esquires. Those three instruments, which are foreign-held patents, are specifically cited in the Lieber Code as being the administrators of an occupation to which the United States military is supposed to be the overseeing jurisdiction. So we have all been in military code of justice since the Lieber Code was enacted. And under that military code of justice, foreign agents for the Pope and the Queen were allowed by the military to reconstruct our government and impose a series of statutory constructs and fictions upon it in trusteeship. Those are the Reconstruction Acts. Okay. Those are foreign statutes affected overlaying the instruments that were laying vacant sendai, that are still vacant sendai. They are occupied by corporations that are registered through our forms of statutory commercial government, the lex. That's the lex mercatoria. So we have two forms of law that the realm has been sloshing about, let's say, in what's called the fringe, the law of the land versus the law of the sea, which up until recently, the law of the sea, the lex mercatoria versus the constitutional law of our land. The lex mercatoria is the old Roman slave trading banking that the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin have been doing, the Jews, the fake Jews, the fake Moors have been doing for years, for centuries. That is the prevailing law that we came from when we declared independence. And that's the type of banking that we declared independence from. And we were able to declare this promised land independent of that law, because when the Pope declared himself the king of the world, it was of the known world at the time, and the new world had not been found. So he had no claim to the new world land. So that's why our world our land, America, is independent of all known types of law in the world at the time of our declarations of independence. And that beset us on basically a private kind of paper and commercial war with the prevailing banking system of the old monarchies that had fallen and were now under receivership and under the control of and the papacy attempting to operate as the Roman Empire still. What we were, I hate to say what had happened was, but truly this is one of those, it's a very long story, is when we effected our independence from that type of banking construct where you had to be to get to operate in Masonic lodges and to effect a constitution that you, which is basically a corporate charter in Europe. The Masonic constitutions were treated as corporate charters. You had to get the authority of the king to even operate in commerce through Rome. He was considered the vice pope, okay? And he was the king of the bank. We didn't like that. We thought that every man should be able to effect commerce independently and to seize his own capital, all men being created equal. So our form of law of the land defined that all men could do commerce in equity and be treated equitably in commerce in all of the realm. In the papal sense, in the monarchical sense, you had to have the authority and the say and the grant of the pope and or the king to affect commerce as a corporation, as a conglomeration of sovereign men. And basically in that, they prevented people from operating in commerce. So the significance between our form of law and the old form of law is that they held that certain people could be in commerce and the other people who were not allowed in commerce were subject to that commerce as slaves. Our system of commerce said all are equal and we have no slaves. So, and there is the paper war of banking that was beset upon us from the day that the landed kings and queens and the allodial heirs of Europe who said, screw the Pope and the false king of England, we're going to go to the New World and we're going to invest our estate and our money and make treaties with the landed people there that protect the land of the New World in an eternal trust. A repository land trust, and we're gonna put an anchor in this land, say this is the law, and we will have faith that by the manifest destiny of our acts, we will be delivered and we will be set free by this law because it follows the law of Christ. It follows the old eschatology of pre-Christianity. All are equal in the land. So that's where our law, that's what our founders and our country and the word America means. In the evolution of law, in the word, in the history, we are the only country in the world and the only people in the world that said we do not believe in slavery, and we established these facts to be self-evident, and we put our law to the land. And what we have been dealing with since then is the encroachment of this foreign lex, which believed in slave trading and expounded upon it.
All right, so we lost signal, just so everyone knows, we lost signal. It's almost like every event in my life today has made this a stumbling block to get this recording done. We've had to switch over to a cell phone, so bear with us. Hopefully, Jason, the sound engineer, will be able to improve things a bit. But Lotus, if you can recall where we broke there, you can pick up.
Yes. I was speaking of how what we were dealing with is a foreign form of lex mercatoria, which is actually defined by all of the philosophical literature concerning the American independent system, where we removed ourselves from the prevailing lex. It's called British Admiralty versus American Admiralty. And British Admiralty is the form of law. So it's the law of war. It's the law of military. But it was also the law of the military that trafficked the slaves for Rome and, you know, for all of the monarchs. So, and of which even George Washington himself, he was a military person for the Queen. That's how he made his money. Now, in seeing what they were doing in the empire, these men became conscientious objectors, even though they were making their money off of the lex mercatoria of the era. They realized it was against the Christian principles to do what the Pope was doing. They saw firsthand as men within the monarchies and working for the monarchies of Europe that what the Pope and the King of England was doing and participating in were crimes, according to, you know, the religious tenets that they followed. And so they abdicated their royal titles. This is what my family did. This is what hundreds, thousands of people did. back in during the periods around the 1600s, they abdicated their royal titles and they came to the New World. Okay. So my family came here in the 1600s to escape that form of Lex Mercatoria, which allowed people who were enemies of the Pope or the King or the monarchy to be seized as slaves, such as all of the the Boreans, the Picts, the Gaels, the Angles, and the Vikings, who were all free sovereign kings of Scotland, whose high crown of Scotland was usurped when they murdered the Mary Queen of Scots. They then raised her son to turn the low crown of England upon its own people. And he started putting shires of the reeds in and started kidnapping the independent free kings of Scotland who were scot-free according to the ancient and accepted Scottish rite, which was an accepted papal right of an independent crown of Scotland, that their own false king, who was raised as an infant by his murderous kidnapping aunt under the English crown, he beset the English evil heresy upon his own scot-free people and started shipping those five tribes, those clans, all over the world. And that's where you get the Boreans of white South Africa. You know, those horrible white slaves or white farmers that they're trying to murder and take back the land are the Boreans of Scotland that were shipped there as slaves by their own king, who was usurped, who his heart was usurped. That's what I would say. They usurped his heart. And so, you know, you have to understand the old history of the British slave trading Lex. And once you understand that that's the form of law that everyone hates, and that the American Admiralty is the law that is going to save everybody, then you can understand how it's easy to call, you know, the white man that founded this country as a horrible slave trader, how the coup can twist these words, because the Jews were white, the monarchical kings were white, but the Moors were black, you know, and they act like no black men traded slaves. Well, the first, you know, some of the first slaves owners here were black Moor independent sovereign men from Europe, okay, that came with their own black slaves, including their wives. See, they like to twist the history of this country and the law so that no one understands that America created an independent law like none other ever before our birth of our country and our nation, because our country was founded before the nation was. And, you know, the country is the estate and the people of the country, which included the native tribes of the time, were all brought up in treaties and agreements between, the Europeans and the chiefs and all of the tribes, and they were granted protection. Those treaties are still there. Of the American Admiralty, the British Admiralty has been smothering us on our own very land with it in banking law. And that's when you talk about bankers, that's British Admiralty. When you talk about the Fed, that's British Admiralty. When you talk about parole, parolees, probated courts, babies being probated, that's all British Admiralty law. Constitutional law doesn't, and American Admiralty doesn't allow for anything that they're doing. But we've been under, with the help of the military, who helped coup this country under Lincoln. The military are the immediate supervisors of all that is going on right now by law. So by law, the military of the United States is in violation of the Labor Code, because they were put in direct supervision of the esquires, the priests, and the doctors with foreign titles of nobility of patent that lend their fealty and thus they are foreign to us, to the vice pope of the crown of England and the pope over in the fake Roman Empire over there. So, you know, people need to learn to parse that the good white men from the bad white men and the good black men from the good black men, and understand it has to do with the principalities of law that they lay fealty to. Good men, regardless of color, abide by the American instrument of law, where all men are created equal and slavery is unlawful in our admiralty system. Okay. Bad men abide by British admiralty and think that children, women, and men are objects and can be treated as cattle, as bond slaves and patented instruments, patented pieces of moving land vessel cattle, in a banking conglomeration. That's just fascism. That's what Badman thinks. And therein lies the central coup, which is in land patents. So we can go from there if you have any questions about. So Reconstruction allowed them to bring the foreign statute onto our land, and that has been what has been controlling us since Reconstruction. And from that, they brought the commercial law, which allowed to treat us through birth certificates as small patented pieces of moving cargo, if that makes any sense.
Now, what about when the royalty of Europe, England, and all that were taking over sections of land in the New World before the United States became official? Obviously, that would still be under the whole British Admiralty or whatever other laws, if Spain and France and all them. I think Germany had some.
Mm-hmm.
Where is the difference here? Where are we talking about when things started to change? We're talking about once the colonies revolted and we're not going to follow British Admiralty anymore. We are going to establish our own.
Correct. Because the British Admiralty, there's a distinction between American and British Admiralty. Okay. There's a distinction between the two. And American Admiralty is specifically defined as a federal instrument. The states may not operate in admiralty according to the de jure law of our land, which means that the states, and we did that because the states as a commercial instrument are then required to move through the federal instrument, which is the federal instrument of trust, and that is the face commercially of all the states. That's how it was originally designed to be. But they didn't like that because, remember, they wanted independent fiefdoms. They didn't want us to be independent colony. They didn't want us to be an independent nation. They wanted us all to be fiefdoms of the royalty, remember? So you can't have states and territorial lands that have to do international commerce through a federal instrument that controls all international, you know, it controls how we all operate in the British Admiralty. So when we created our instruments under the things which constituted offenses in violation of the prevailing law, because you have to understand that what we were averring was a crime under the prevailing law as well. They were doing things that were not supposed to be permitted even in the lex then, okay, under equity, under chancery. So we were averring that they were already violating the law, and we went even further and said that we perceive anybody who works for the king, who hold titles and nobility, and this is where the original 13th Amendment, which was lawfully passed and is lawfully passed amendment and has been reaffirmed in the cases that I've walked through the equity, that those foreign titles of nobility, doctors, priests, and esquires, to name some, which are foreign held patents, which means they are licensees under the king of a use and a grant of law, okay, under his law, king's law, they are patents, that those types of patents may not hold positions, trust, power, or authority in the United States or either of them. Okay. In that instrument, they're explaining to you in that very amendment that there are two United States, at least. The United States as a conglomeration in the United States, meaning the states united as a collective state in perpetuity, okay, a commercial compact, and then the United States, each being still a sovereign nation that has not conveyed its entire sovereignty to the collective, the United States. Okay, so that in way it's written, and it's in that, and it said that those people who take that title lose their United States citizenship. Okay, so the significance of the 13th Amendment is emoluments are cited in the Constitution, but we never gave a penalty for it. And in law, if you cite no penalty, it's kind of like citing, I say this under penalty of perjury. If you don't say by the laws of something, there's no enforcement clause for the perjury, which is why they always leave that off in their fake courts. So if you don't have an enforcement clause of a crime, you can't enforce it. So know that the TONA, the de jure 13th Amendment, is the enforcement clause for the emoluments clause within the Constitution. So we enforce that. So the Title of Nobility's Amendment enforces the Emoluments Clause. That's why they had to disappear it, because there is an enforcement. When you take a title of nobility and you walk around and you call yourself an esquire, a priest, or a doctor, even in the current law, you lose your rights to be a United States citizen, and you may not hold position of trust or power or authority in the United States or either of them. It is enforced in law in that way. Well, they're operating in legal, remember. They're operating under an extension, an expansion of their trusteeship, where they're like, oh, well, wait, military will manage the estates better this time. Just let us reconstruct it. And that's what they did. Remember, Lincoln wanted them, you know, restored, and you couldn't restore the Union because the attorneys needed to reconstruct it to try to get to our allodial trust and steal from us more and more and more. So that's why we are in the Reconstruction Statutes, which are all founded in the merging of the British Admiralty with the American Admiralty in the Federal Instrument. So what we are now facing is, since 1940, by the enactment of Title 18, which was never lawfully ratified, by the way. Title 18 U.S. Code has never been ratified lawfully. Well, one, because we're in an illegitimate Congress, because as you all know, and everyone can hear, if doctors, priests, and esquires are not allowed to hold positions of trust law authority, then your entire Congress is illegitimate, because it's predominantly all of those instruments, as is most of your government, your executive branch, your governors, you know, all. So what you're looking at is, you're start tagging how many people are esquires, doctors, or priests that are running your government. And that's the British Admiralty too. And that's what it is. That's why, because by law, they can't hold those powers. So they can't hold those positions. And that's how, you know, all they've done is reconstructed a fiction of law that looks like the United States of America, but it's actually a fiction of law, the United States Corporation Company, that is now sitting in the seats of law. That's where Sithism comes from, the Sith, the seat of power. So you have fascism sitting in the de jure grants, operating as trustees. And in this regard, in my case, they've been proven to have having affected prima facie treason, sedition, RICO, attempted murder, false imprisonment, and kidnapping for the base charges of a variety of judiciary and agents of state, all the way going from a municipality all the way to the highest federal equity court, the Federal Court of Appeals for the Federal Circuit of the District of Columbia. I have proven prima facie acts by bringing the abuse and the theft and the seizing of negotiable instruments that are related to my social security number and my birth certificate and my wife's and my daughter's and my son's birth certificate, social security number. We can prove now, which is why the Fed is now dissolved, that the judiciary is merely a banking conspiracy to seize negotiable instruments and to run a false puppet government with it. So your judiciary is vacated as of the 6th, and your Congress is proven by the de jure law that is now enforced that the Congress is not a Congress assembled. And so now your a Congress and your judiciary, as cited in Article 4, Section 4 of all the constitutions, no matter how they're read after the 12th Amendment, okay, all constitutions cite Article 4, Section 4, that when Congress cannot be assembled, check. And when the judiciary has been proven to not perform in its function, check. What comes next? That's when POTUS, carrying the dual hat of POTUS, POTUSOA, Mr. Trump, is mandated by law, which he's been noticed of, to enact the military to put down the coup. That is where we are right now. And they are aware of their mandate. And so, you know, the greater point in all of this is that what I call paper chess, okay, I call this paper chess. By me playing paper chess with these people, okay, I have been able to thwart a coup, which was hell-bent on a balls-out physical civil war, a false civil war again, because, you know, when you get someone in a Talmud, just as in the Bible, when you put the people in a rebellion, you can seize the estate in controversy, i.e. the kingdom of heaven, and put it into a susticae trust of the land, i.e. the field of blood. So the habit has been of the enemies of all the people who love land and law, who is this hidden principalities on high, their habits since Christ have always been to and to get the people so twisted in the word and the law and the history, such as in creating fascism, Bolshevism, and all these movements where people are blindly led to believe one thing, though they're affecting another, okay, by propaganda and basic fascist methodologies, to get the people to rebel against their own government so that they, as the lex mercatoria holders of the realm, could seize you up and put your land into a trust. I have prevented them from doing that. Not only have I prevented them from doing that, I have taken that civil war that they had planned to be bloody and dirty and bring up through Mexico when Hillary was selected, and allow all the troops of China and Russia and the masses and mobs of people that were waiting at the borders that Hillary was going to let in. Hillary was going to walk in, folks, including China and Russia. And they were going to let them come invade this country and declare it a Moorish nation. I swear, this is actually a provable fact that this was their plan, that they were going to institute this entire shift of our faith. Because remember, our Constitution is based on full faith and credit. So they not only had to undermine the banks, they had to make you all turn away from the faith that credit was issued on, which is the Christian faith, not the Catholic faith, not the Jewish faith, not any other of the Abrahamic faith, Christian faith. So they had to, their whole plan would have required for them to not only undermine our banks by coming in criminally through criminal bankruptcies, fraudulent bankruptcies imposed upon us since the Civil War, and seizing our land through false bankruptcy seizures under trusteeship. They would have had to do that. And then their coup de grace was they thought they were going to shove the Sharia law down American Christians' mouths to make us change our faith, because they had to change the faith in order to get to the credit, if that makes sense to anybody. So they literally were going to attack our faith, which is what you see. You saw a lot of that attacking of Christianity, white Christians. They're a broad color of Christians. So
let's make a couple of points here. So it should be lost on nobody that it's not just on the face of it an assault, but there's a spiritual component to this whole thing, as we pointed out in many episodes, for the basis of law and everything else. But the way it's being laid down here, it's more than just a war. It's a spiritual war, but there's more. If people, I hope I get this right, Lotus, you can correct me if I don't, but if you want to think about the entities, you could almost think about the City of London. It's the banking center. You could throw in the Vatican with whatever anyone's doing. But basically, each person became equity or is equity, but they've been denied. Is it called the beneficiary? You can correct me in a minute. But been denied being the beneficiaries of their own equity. So that's basically in a nutshell, right?
Correct. And they've done that by removing us. They literally removed through what's called the American Republics, which was brought into the United States statutes under Title 22, under 22, which they just did not renew, the Foreign Servants Act. It's what controls everything as a foreign agent, let's put it that way. So under Title 22, they notice you to the only time you will ever see the term America, and it's called the American Republics, okay? They threw the American Republics into a treaty, which is called the Havana Acts, with 19 other republics. Well, what you don't understand about that mention in statute is that the term America had presented into the SEC. The United States of America was seized in receivership in 1939, doing business as the Atlas Corporation. So my concern was, when I read the Havana Acts, is how did the United States of America report in a treaty which Cordell Hull created? Mind you, Cordell Hull was one of the founding members of the United Nations. Now, okay, which then brought about the Council of 300. And that's when you get into the hidden philosopher kings of Greece. So think of the Council of 300 as the hidden philosophers of the old Greeks, the Greek kings. They're called the hidden philosopher kings under the Greek eschatology, renaming themselves as the Council of 300. So imagine that, the elite fighting, you know, for years, because that's what they are. The Council of 300 is the old Greek philosopher kings who have been doing secret breeding programs, thinking that they were going to form this elite ruling class. If you research that Greek philosopher kings, That's what exposes Q. That would be the Council of 300, in that they think that they're these elite bloodline people who have been selectively breeding the king of the world. That sounds creepy. It is creepy because they basically have been trying to breed Satan incarnate. I'm not kidding you. So Cordell Hull, though he may have, you know, created the United Nations, because if you look at his works, what he did is he took all of the countries that did not have some type of trade agreement already with Europe and put them kind of in a special class called the American Republics prior to the start of World War II. So 1939, supposedly, quote, the United States of America, which the last time you would see that term anywhere in law was in the Definitive Treaty of Peace. And it isn't a right of the United States. The King of England kept the term United States of America. Okay, so the King of England, after the Definitive Treaty of Peace, kept our name, United States of America, and only gave us the instrument of the United States. Okay, so the United States of America suddenly presents itself for the first time in, 150 years, right, except on certain literature by esquires operating on behalf of the King of England as our trustees. It presents to be a bankrupted instrument doing business as the Atlas Corp in 1939. It then appears in the Havana Acts as a signor of a new instrument where 19 other, quote, American republics are put. Well, then that instrument, the American republics, were thrown into a private fifth jurisdiction, which is not allowed by the Constitution, which is the international lex mercatoria of British Admiralty. Okay. And within that, and that special maritime jurisdiction is defined in Title 18, Section 7. Okay. That is that special maritime jurisdiction as defined in 18 U.S.C. Code Section 7. It's a special maritime and territorial jurisdiction of the United States defined. Okay. That is the criminal fifth jurisdiction that the esquires for the bar union threw everything related to United States in, where they're defrauding it on the back door of the SEC itself. Okay. So all of the coup of that you see in banking is actually in the SEC, where there's a thing called Form D. The Form D entities under the SEC are where all of those 14th Amendment claims that shall be paid with not controversy are operating. That happens to be a jurisdiction that is under the jurisdiction of the military. So everything done under Form D is actually by law under the liability of the fiduciary duty of the military. So the military jurisdiction itself, created within the SEC, is where all the crimes of the American people are being affected by bar union members operating in criminal RICO and conspiracy and defrauding patents of the Treasury. Very simple when you know what they're doing. And that's why I say this is a military coup, and why there's a problem, the fact that the military are the ones saying they're fixing it all, because they're the ones that are on the hook for violating the Libor Code, which means there are men in the military that are going to be tried for treason and sedition for their acts and crimes against the United States, America, and various other nations, where the military has assisted in the trafficking of children and women and men under the auspices of doing war with them, seizing babies that you leave orphaned after you kill all their mom and dad. See how that works? They're making money in backdoor dealing of people as commodities at war, folks. So if the military also must be cleansed, because right now you have a war really between, and we all better pray that POTUS is King David instead of the head of the whore of Babylon, because which I'm going to tell you, the whore of Babylon is defined in Revelation as that which denies the Father and the Son. Okay. In my case, the administrative courts of the United States denied the exact same claim that they're mandated by law to do for me, his father. I am his father in the pleading, and for my son. So the whore of Babylon, by all of its purposes, is the baby trafficking banking that has been wrapped in the administrative courts of the United States and operating criminally in criminal conspiracy affecting foreign banking admiralty, British Admiralty Lex Mercatoria on our land since 1940. That is the whore. And that is what I have seized and proven to be a whore, because they're the whore of the Pope and they're the whore of the false crown of Britain. Okay. So my hope is that, POTUS is David, and he now knows that his military is in open coup too. So now he is in a dangerous position. So we all should pray, one, that he's King David, and two, in the story of the, you know, of Revelation, he's the king that's bringing the seed, the collective of the seed, to the true God, not the false crown, not the false temple, the true temple. See, the true King David. Let's pray that he's that, and also pray for him to have protection to rout out the coup within the old Hessians of the Roman Empire that are still hiding in there, the old baby traffickers that are hiding in the military and who have couped this nation and allowed since 1940 for these heinous crimes to be affected against it, actually before then. So let's pray that the son, the true sons of Zion, come out of that chewing instrument, which is the military, and come to the aid of Trump, you know, embodying, operating within the Ka of King David to bring the Zionists out and to put the whore down, because that's actually exactly where we are in the eschatology of this march to our divine manifest destiny, because I've seized all the patents. I've seized everything else.
Let's make a couple points here. For people who are not putting one and one together, the corona nonsense, aptly named after the crown, this what's being described here is the claim being made is that's why it happened. But I've got to ask, so who's in charge of the military, and why would we have any reason to believe that the military is going to do the right thing all of a sudden after all these decades and decades and decades of turning a blind eye, or even worse?
Well, because what's been exposed is something that's right before you that never should have happened. Okay. And in that, let's go to the crux of every crime. Title 28, U.S. Code, Section 1338. Okay. That particular code states that, and I'll read it just so we have it. It says, patents, plants, variety protection, copyrights, mask works, designs, trademarks, and unfair competition. Okay. Let's go to B. Okay. Well, let's just read. The district court shall have original jurisdiction in any civil action arising under any act of Congress related to patents. Let's just read A. Okay. Every house title that is operating in the Treasury this day in this country is a patented piece of land subject to an act of Congress. Every one of them. So how is it that you get kicked out by your municipal court? They don't have jurisdiction. It says right here, the district courts shall have original jurisdiction in any civil action arising under an act of Congress relating to patents. We can go on. Patent variety, protection, copyrights, trademarks. Okay. Then it goes on B. The district courts shall have original jurisdiction in any civil action asserting a claim of unfair competition. So everything related to foreclosures, the states have no jurisdiction in them, because every foreclosure is concerning a patented piece of land that is subject to an act of Congress called the Fed Act and the Bankruptcy Acts that go all the way back before the Civil War. Before the Civil War, they enacted the first Bankruptcy Act, which was actually the reason for the Civil War. But that's another time. But so if everything related to patented lands or anything of a patent that is subject to an act of Congress is not within the jurisdiction of the states, then how, since the entire time I can remember, have the states been leaning patented lands, kicking tenants out by forced eviction from landlords who aren't the true allodial holders? They're just holding the tenancy deed through the Fed Act. So the fact is now is that not only that, but I have proven by the manner in which they stole my birth certificate and stole an interesting, a very important instrument called the les pendens, which is where you lay a claim in equity against a non-negotiable instrument. So such as a land patent, I, in the Federal Court of Equity, the Federal Circuit, the highest equity court in the District of Columbia, I laid a les pendens on that clerkship, leaning all of my family's Social Security numbers and attached to their birth certificate. So I joined the birth certificate and the Social Security numbers at the top in a lien. When I did that in negotiable instrument law, it made them non-negotiable patented bonded patents. Okay. So I have proven that the birth certificate is basically a land patent, where your state of issued a land patent, in my example, would be for a piece of Missouri walking called Monica G. Justice. It's a land patent. So your birth certificate is a patent, is a patent. Okay. Again, subject to the Fed Act. So if your birth certificate is an instrument of patent and your house title is an instrument of patent and all the cars that come out of the out of Michigan were required, if those corporate manufacturers were to were made to surrender the allodial titles to those cars produced in Michigan, to which then they issued patents from the federal, these are all issued through patent. Even your car title is a federal patent, which is subject to an act of Congress. So if everything we know are patents subject to acts of Congress, how have foreign bankers posing as esquires, as judges, been able to lay claim to them in what we see as state and municipal courts? It's because they never were state and municipal courts. They're just slave banks that have worked their way in from the edges of Jamestown all the way into your counties. And that's where we're at. So now that the military that are good and the esquires that are good and the cops that are good that now know that these, let's say that these judges down here were trying to solicit them and doing the dirty work for the dirty bar union criminals by hiding things off the docket to get the cops to come shoot me, though the docket was adulterated in this case and they were being misled and misguided to affect treason, sedition, and domestic terrorism. It's those judges on the hook and those Esquire prosecuting attorneys on the hook that are ordering these cops out, folks. The cops are just like the guys on the boots.
Who's going to do the enforcement here? So we've come through all this time where, that's the point that I want to address real quickly. So we've had all this time where the very entities that I guess you're going to outline why they're doing enforcement now haven't done enforcement. What changed? Is it literally just because someone figured out how to file the right legal papers? Is that what we're talking about here?
Yes. We're talking about someone collecting up the net. And what my case allowed Trump to do is, one, is look into the Treasury and actually required, it allowed the executive branch to have a reason to look at what I was talking about in the Treasury. And they found out that the Treasury that we had been told about was just paper and that there really was no Treasury. And so he was able to find that there was Treasuries under Treasuries. Okay. What it also allowed to happen is the Treasury was able to pair birth certificates with Social Security numbers. Okay. Which had never been done before in a Fed. The Social Security Administration was an independent body, which was, that's the beneficiary. So that Social Security number is your beneficiary number, okay? Your creditor number is the birth certificate held in private hock in the DTC, which is the Federal Reserve had deemed private property. They deemed to privately own you on your credit side. So they profess to own, as we talked, your CROI instrument, right? The instrument they owed to you. So they were holding your actual allodial estate contracts as private property from you. And the attorneys were doing the interpleading between your credit side and your benefit side on the Social Security. And they were doing it through the criminal acts of the states within probate, municipality, and county courts, pretending to act like they had jurisdiction over your patents and your families and everything you did, including how you eat, sleep, drink, and whatever you do, cross the street, whatever. That micromanaging through statute. That's all foreign. So they were big daddy in the interpleader. When I joined the Social Security number to the birth certificate instrument and put a lien on it, it allowed the Treasury and the Social Security Administration to be joined and to see the greater crimes where this instrument over here can now be paired to this birth certificate. Well, if there's a death certificate, now everybody's So now every Social Security instrument better have a living person attached to it, shouldn't it? A real living person. Well, I'm going to tell you, there's a bunch of birth certificates out there that are dead people that are using Social Securities, i.e. Obama. Okay. So there's now we can look at all instruments held within the greater treasury that have been allocated into the SEC, into the Department of Transportation as maritime liens, into the Department of Agriculture as agricultural liens, all these instruments that have been spread and fractionalized. You know, that's the whole majestic to fracture, to break apart the instrumentality so that each people does what they think they're supposed to do in statute. And they don't know that when they do it in a greater sense, it's in a criminal act. That's what they've done with all the patented instruments of negotiation. Well, now all those instruments of negotiation are in one big pot called my claim. And I've laid lien to all of them. And now that's what has allowed Trump to merge the Fed into the Treasury. That's a mandate of the claim. I own the Fed. It's mine. They thwarted my family to the tune of multi-trillions, God, trillions of dollars, trying to claim my flesh and my allodial estate that goes all the way back to the Holy Roman Empire and to the landed kings of Scotland and the landed kings of UK. No matter how you go, I've got all three claims covered in blood right. They tried to claim my allodial croy and use it as their personal property in parens patriae, which puts you back to Christ.
Which is basically the same on a different level for every person listening, right?
Absolutely.
Let me come back to the point here, Lotus. So who specifically is going to do enforcement and why are they going to do it now?
Okay, they're going to do it now because they're mandated by law to do it. And the only choice is now is either you're a traitor or you're with us. So you're either a traitor, and in this case, committing treason, because the living law has been walked and affirmed again. There is no fringe. The bank lines have been affirmed. The law of equity has seized the American Admiralty, has seized the British Admiralty. There is no British Admiralty anymore. It is wholly seized as Alex. So our constitutional law, by my acts in equity, seized all the banking law that had been prevailing in the realm. That's why the Vatican is empty, and that's why the fake crown of UK's house is empty with no seals on it. That's why they're all empty, because they are no more. They are fraudulent instruments, and their crowns collapse.
Let's make the point. When you saw your little news things where some vehicle hit the gate and accidentally a coat of arms fell down that was never replaced, grow up. Look at what's happened. When the Queen of England or the fake Queen of England pulled up to the gate and it was a malfunction, it was locked and wouldn't let her in. Now are you starting to see the bigger picture? But to come back around just now.
I know. You want to know who's going to save us? Right.
Well, no, okay. No, I was going to point out one more thing that kind of backs up what you're saying here. Stuff is actually happening. I'm just trying to nail down the nuts and bolts. I'd like to actually know who's doing it, but I just got an email saying that the Supreme Court has made some kind of a dictate or whatever you call it when the Supreme Court does against the Electoral College. And it also claims in this email that there are now penalties for politicians that break the law as if there weren't before. But things are happening, aren't
right.
they?
Yes, they are. And the Electoral College was an instrument that they couped in Reconstruction, actually, and let's address that. The de jure instrument, the Electoral College, is the electors, it was left to the states. And within each state, each state, by its own internal statutes, mind you, the states must be in compliance with the compact and the contract of the federal instrument and the federal constitution. So states can't go outside the greater compact. That's the mandate. And the federal instrument, mind you, is the trust, the banking face. It was meant to be a banking protective trust instrument that protected the state. Thank gosh they did it that way, right? So when they reconstructed, one of the first acts of Reconstruction was to say that in times when the state assemblies cannot assemble, the states may define how electors are appointed. So you know how that happened? The Democratic Party of Ohio and the Republican Party of Ohio, which are all corporations and all owned by attorneys, get together and appoint their favorite people and call them electors. That's not how it's supposed to happen. Parties are not supposed to define electors. It is your instrument of electors are defined by the state legislatures, and either they are elected from within them or appointed, or how are the, in Missouri, I know that the electors were elected from the greater, I think, the body of people. Like they were, an elect, it's like another instrument of state, okay? So there weren't corporations appointing electors, which is what you have now, which is why it's a selection and not an election. You are being polled, and then your attorneys, trustees, tell you, select who your fictitious government agents are, who are really just corporate fascists. I mean, they're just corporate fascist heads. So your electoral college has been cooed since Reconstruction, and they set it up so that when they bankrupted the state, that the corporate heads could actually appoint the electors. It's clearly written within Reconstruction that so, the undermining of the electoral college by statute, again.
Let me jump in. And by the way, Jason and I have done quite a good job of taking apart the Electoral College. By fate, I live in Rhode Island. Rhode Island is the one of the 13 who walked out and said, we won't be party to this crime that you guys are enacting. But that does bring us to the top of the first hour, Lotus. There's so many things that we're going to get into. But basically, I think the reason that we wanted to do this and we wanted to fast track it and maybe do a series of episodes with Lotus to cover things is because everyone's so afraid and there's nothing to be afraid of. Yeah, the biggest lie in the world just got told. It's called the crown. Well, basically the crown is the biggest lie in the world, so it's nothing new. But the question became...
False crown. Yeah,
false crown. So the question really became here, are we going down? That's what everyone's afraid of. No, we're not going down. Can hard things happen? Can we pay a little hell? Yeah, all those things are possible. But at the end of the day, this is partially a spiritual war. And what you contribute into the mainstream is the fear porn you pick up on the evening news, or maybe, if we're fortunate, a higher-minded hope for what is just, what is correct. When we come back in hour two, we're going to get into things that are almost, it's unbelievable. It's all unbelievable. It's unbelievable that it happened, but when you begin to try to piece together and go back and vet all the claims that are being laid down, what you start to realize is it's really no different than your municipality. If you show up at your municipality and say, hey man, you're violating my due process, they look at you like you're speaking Martian and honest to the bottom of their heart, look you in the eye, believing what they're telling you, saying, no, I'm doing my job as I was trained to, I'm doing the right thing here. And it's almost like we've come through a whole complete coup of the world where the wool was pulled so mightily over everyone's eyes that not only did people not know they were doing wrong, they didn't even know what right was. But Jason, do you want to add anything in before we wrap up and get ready to do hour two?
Well, I'd like to get in hour two where the rights that Lotus is claiming came from. Establish the family line so that folks understand where this is all coming from.
Are you talking about Lotus's family line?
Right. Like, let's make sure we establish that so that folks know where we're even starting from with all of this and they understand what the basis of all this is.
I think we're going to have right. The Croy discussion again, Lotus. Is that right?
Yes. And that's exactly where it lays.
So I'm just going to call this the first hour of 233. It's not going to run on social media, but it's going to go out in a lot of other places. This is one where you really don't want to miss the second hour. And if Lotus is with us, we may do a number of episodes to try to frame out unbelievable things that most people, it's the best science fiction novel ever written. It really is. it is beyond belief. And when they say, well, let's just wrap it here. Join us for the second hour at crow777radio.com. And by the way, if you're hearing this, you're already there. There it is. Cheers.
and the beast of knowing.